My Real Estate for Chisholm and Gayman, at home in Port Melbourne, Black Rock, Elwood and Mount Martha.
Hello, Sam Gayman.
Hello, Eddie.
How are you today?
I'm extremely pumped up. I'm
Why?
Really fired up. I'm about to auction in about half an hour's time or 45 minutes time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be auctioning 52 and 54 Chaucer Street in St Kilda, which is two side-by-side Victorian homes in completely original condition.
Were they originally one home?
Yes, they were. Well, they were always divided into two homes, but one family have owned this property for 47 years.
Wow.
And today it goes under the hammer. It's been divided into five separate apartments that yep. are also have their own rates notices. They're separately
yes.
metered.
Yes.
So it has
oh,
been...
Oh, you've given me an idea for a topic
oh, yeah, okay.
this week. But
cool.
we'll continue. Firstly, hello, Torsten Casper.
Hello, Eddie. How are you?
How have things been in the office this week, TK?
We've had a great week. Lots of fantastic, happy vendors. Lots of great sales. The rental market seems to be steady as well. So it's been a really good week for all of our four offices. And mm-hmm. And as Sam has said, we're both looking forward to the auction later this morning.
Well, the idea is downsizing. Now, in the past, let's say in the 60s, 70s, even in the 80s, you'd buy these big blocks. And these days, the kids have moved on. They've got families of their own. They've got houses of their own. But you've still got this big block. What's the best way to stay in your own home and carve up your own property and downsize that way?
Well, look, it's a great suggestion as far as the topic. And we're actually having a lot of clients that are looking through this. And in fact, I went to a particular property this week where we've assessed the merits of they don't need a big yard anymore.
Yep.
They want the house. They've got a very deep block. And so we're looking at, and it does have rear
Define
access.
Define deep.
Deep would be about 150 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
you certainly get a house or a unit or two on that.
So what we're looking at is whether we build one townhouse at the rear or two.
Yes.
This is quite a unique property because it actually has the potential to have some parkland views. So we're actually also considering building maybe just two boutique apartments. So one on the ground level with a courtyard and one above it, which will get a single level, again, four downsizes as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll be a little downsizes precinct, Eddie, because
yeah.
you'll have the house that's on one level. They get to stay in Elwood. They also get to value add, create some capital wealth as well.
Yes.
And also cater to that downsizers market where we're getting a lot of requests for boutique, slightly larger apartments. And that's what we're selling at 47 Ormond Esplanade.
Well, let's rewind a little bit. Would it be practical to maybe demolish the current house and build three new houses, subdivide into three, and then these people still live in one of those houses and sell off the other two?
That's always another
option. It balances it all up.
That's always another option, Eddie, but there's quite often it depends on a few things. You might look at doing that, especially if you didn't have the access to the two properties at the rear. So what I mean is if you've got an old period house on your property that almost runs boundary to boundary,
yes.
you do need to think about how are those properties at the back going to be accessed. Because if they have rear access, they can drive into a garage, but there's still a requirement to have a post box, which means that you need some sort of street access.
Yep.
And it's going to have to be wide enough for, I guess, ambulance access and for people to be able to get...
And so, the other thing I didn't think of is if the house is heritage listed,
yes.
you know, you're stopped at the beginning.
That's so, right.
And that's where... and in fact, the house that I looked at is in that criterion.
Sure.
It is under a heritage overlay. But the side path access is really important if there's not a street address. One of the other things you can look at doing, though, is going to councils because depending on the width of the right-of-way or the access point, if you get that renamed and the council agrees that there's a... And we are seeing this with higher density and more of this urban muse type of developments... They will consider renaming some of these laneways.
There's one behind our office at Elwood, Torsten.
There is, yeah. And that's named after a famous cyclist that was in the area in the 30s. So
I thought it'd be called Casper Lane.
Well, we'd love that, but Horry did more and came first. So and was a good cyclist. But certainly, look, that option to carve land off is a good one for those that may not want to go into the whole building process.
Yep.
So we can literally sell off the land to wannabe developers.
Yes.
And that way the risk isn't there for the actual owner. They can actually create... what I do suggest, though, is that you, in going through that, what we're going to do is get a building envelope agreed to so that we're selling it with plans. So that's the key.
This is My Real Estate. We'll be back in a tick.
My Real Estate for Chisholm and Gayman at home in Port Melbourne, Blackrock, Elwood and Mount Martha.
This is My Real Estate, all thanks to Chisholm and Gayman Bayside. 9531 1245, the one central number to call for the four offices. Where are they, Sammy?
Thanks, Eddie. They're Blackrock, Elwood, Port Melbourne and Mount Martha.
And we continue, Torsten. We're talking about downsizing on your own block.
We are indeed, Eddie. And for those that have just joined us, just to quickly recap, the options there are to actually maintain the current house and hive off a portion or a majority of your backyard and create some options there. Importantly, you've got to have site access so there's a street address or if you're abutting another street or a right-of-way that is large enough to and has some streetscape that you can actually have that renamed, there's some other opportunities there.
Sure.
Those that have got more of an appetite...
And you need a letterbox.
Well, you need a street address for your letterbox, yes.
Right.
And also access for emergency services.
Which is something I didn't know and Sam raised just before.
But the other aspect is those that have got more of an appetite to develop and if there's no overlay, the options are there to demolish the existing home and subject to council requirements, either build two or three townhouses, depending on how big the allotment is and the orientation and the other neighbouring properties. But certainly in that option, what we tend to do is suggest to our clients that they have what we call a separated pair, and that is that one will be slightly larger than the other side by side. And in the areas that we deal with, that seems to be the most popular and most lucrative market space, that people still want to come into their own garage, they want to have their own street appeal. So in that, what you might, to give you an example, you might have one that's actually 7 metres wide and one that's 5 metres wide. So, and depending on your needs, you would either choose to actually live in the larger of the two and sell off the 5 metre one, which will cover the building costs and also hopefully make you some extra equity to actually put into your superannuation.
If you're putting two more homes into your backyard, do you need automatically an owner's corporation?
Well, you are going to sit within what might be an inactive owner's corporation. It depends on how it's set up. If there's more than one lot on the property,
yes,
you're automatically forming part of a plan of subdivision and an owner's corporation.
And there's my question. What if you're subdividing? You don't own that block anymore anyway, so you only own part of that block and there are three side by side, and let's call them 51 A, B and C.
Yes.
Do you still need that owner's corporation, well, even though you've only owning that one portion?
When it comes to selling, if there's no common property involved...
Yes.
If there was a common driveway that you all use, you would need to have public liability insurance in place.
Right.
For that driveway.
And which means the three of you have to get together and organise for that driveway. That's an easy to run situation. If the titles are then separate, then really, you know, it's not a complex owner's corporation. Technically, it's an owner's corporation, but it's not a complex one.
Sure.
If there's no common property...
So you
property,
just divide the bill in three.
The insurance, the public liability, yeah. and you may choose to have someone come in and sweep leaves or make sure, you know, there's no sort of overgrowing shrubbery or so forth that's planted in that communal driveway.
Yes.
And when you come to sell, you would need to have an owner's corporation certificate in your section 32, but it basically just says that there's no fees payable other than the insurance, and you'll just have to provide an insurance certificate to show that you have the public liability, because there's a requirement to have public liability for up to $20 million.
Sure.
But within that, Eddie, if there is no, let's just say in the example of where we have two properties, so we've got the two side by side and there's no common property, well, then you don't need a body corporate.
Sure. Sam?
Yeah, so I'd encourage anybody that's out there to have a really good think about how they're designing this, because we have so many clients that are approaching us that are focused on single level or master bedroom suites on a ground floor, because they are saying, look, we don't know what the future holds. We've had a knee operation. Mm. We might have arthritis. We are wanting to future-proof, and they are prepared to pay more. We've recently had a beautiful property sell, penthouse, where they're thinking, well, look, the downsides might be 3 to 5 years away, but let's get ready for it now.
This is My Real Estate. Back shortly.
My Real Estate for Chisholm and Gayman at home in Port Melbourne, Blackrock, Elwood and Mount Martha.
My Real Estate continues. Now, Sam, we've looked at it simply that you can divide your property. If you've got a large property, you can divide it however you wish, subject to council approval. But I'm sure there's a lot more involved than that.
Well, there is, Eddie, and the best starting point is to sit down with an architect and, you know, we can recommend some good ones and have a feasibility done. So you're not paying the full extensive fees for, you know, project managing all the way through unless you elect to go ahead with the project. But you start off with a feasibility and it'll be a fairly basic one, but it'll say, right, what can we get on to the property? What's the optimum use and design? And then what Torsten and myself would do, or our team, is to sit down and work out what is the land value component, what are the new improvements going to sell for, and is it economically viable? And one of the things we'll also assess that against is what is the current demand for that property as, say, a family block, because in certain areas where there are school zones, there's been some recent talk in the media that statistically properties in school zones are selling for 15 to 20% more if it's a particular school that's highly sought after, where people are getting a
good... That's certainly happening in the eastern suburbs.
It's happening right around Australia. And that's being driven by just the costs of public schooling. And just, again, consumers are working out the actual value of school fees over the duration of an 8 to 10 year cycle versus paying a bit more for a property where you can go to the local high school. So there's a tangible effect there. But certainly, as Sam has said, one of the key things that we'll present to our clients is what is the highest and best use of that land. And so sometimes it becomes apparent that as much as the idea is great, it's not an economical decision, but it might be a decision still to allow them to stay in that area, but it's not designed to actually make money.
Yes, quite often, because quite often this is lifestyle driven or location driven, where, you know, you're attached to your friends, your neighbours, your community, and you want to stay within there. And potentially, I mean, this can
be it's your home.
It's your home, but it can be a long road. You do have to have an appetite for it. You might subdivide, get the permit, and then you might sell those blocks. And we've done that before, Torsten, where people have hived off a piece of land at the rear of their property.
And that's an opportunity, and that is a very cost-effective, low-key strategy. But certainly for those that want the bigger exercise of going through a development, that is an 18-month process. So there's a 8 to 12-month process in planning, and then you're likely to have, another 10 to 14 month build on top of that. So as I say, there is quite a process.
So we're talking about a 2-year to 2.5-year prospect.
Fairly much. And what you also need to also understand is that once you start that build process, if you are pulling down your existing home,
you can't stop it.
You need to factor in rent. So you'll be living elsewhere. So these are sort of the costs. So we'll go through and do a feasibility for clients just so they understand what they're getting into. And in some cases, it's a break-even point where they're saying that's great because I get to stay in the street that we've been in for 20 years, but we get to have the new home that will suit us for the next 20 years.
Yeah, and what I mean by you can't stop it, once you start demolishing a house, you can't stop it.
Yeah, you're underway.
And
also, there might be something around the corner close by. You know, if you do start looking for that property that a developer's already built or somebody's already designed, that's just perfect for you. And that's not always going to be the case, but there are a number of great boutique developments around, and if you approach us, some of them we sell to our database directly.
Torsten, anything to leave us with?
Look, I guess with where Sam was just saying then, there is a terrific new marketplace called the owner-occupied boutique apartment space.
Yes.
And within that, a number of our clients are getting a benefit where they're 3 or 4 squares bigger than what has been sold or developed in the marketplace. They're in smaller buildings, so you're not turning up to a 50 or 60 apartment development. You've got somewhere between 15 and 25 of them. And they are great environments. So they're a really good alternative with the stamp duty saving. So as Sam said, feel free to give our offices a call if you're in that space. Or, again, if you're out there wondering whether it is worth you looking at the exercise of subdividing your own home, we've got offices in the four locations.
Chisholm and Gayman Bayside, 95311245, the one central number to call. Torsten, where are those locations again?
Blackrock, Elwood, Port Melbourne and Mount Martha.
And we'll do it all again next week. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Eddie. Off to our auction.
This has been My Real Estate. We'll be back next week.
Wherever you go, say hello.
1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy.